And the angel says, O dwellers of the house, peace be upon you, peace be upon you. Having said this, they then take the daughter under the protection of their wings, and moving their hand softly upon her head, they say, here is a frail life, born to another frail human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall extend his help to him, who will look after her and bring her up. Subhanallah. Such a blessed ceremony upon the birth of a girl. Nothing of that happens with the birth of a son, in case you're thinking. In another report, in Hakim Sahih, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever has a daughter born to him and he did not bury her alive or humiliate her and did not prefer his son over her, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit him to paradise because of her. Subhanallah. What did the Prophet say? You have a daughter. You show equal love and affection to both your son, if you have one, and your daughter. You don't bury her alive. Look at the contrast. Look what our Messenger was sent to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were burying their daughters alive. And look at the status Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them. Because if you don't humiliate her, you don't prefer her over your son, paradise is your right. Subhanallah. In another report, in Tabarani, Sa'id ibn Mansur, Maruf al-Ahadith, volume 4, page 115 of the English translation, it is no wonder then that Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, that our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had said, feed all your children equally in regarding to fee giving. And look at this. Were I, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to show preference in this matter, I would then have shown it to the daughters. But it is binding to be equal. Look at that. If the Prophet ﷺ had seen the matter, he goes, I would have preferred showing more love and honor and respect to my daughters than my sons. But I can't do this. So that is unbelievable. Somebody says more to them. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. And also, in Ma'arif al-Quran, volume 5, page 616 of the English translation, by the late, great Mufti Shafi rahmatullah alayh, Ubayd ibn Umar rahmatullah alayh had once recited this verse of the Quran, Surah Al-Kahf, Surah 18, verse 46, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wealth and children are the embellishment of this worldly life. Baqiyatu salihatu, the everlasting virtues are better with your Lord. Look what this Salaf rahmatullah alayhi said. Baqiyatu salihatu, everlasting virtues are righteous daughters. Everlasting virtues mentioned in the Quran are righteous daughters, for they are, for their parents, the greatest treasure troves of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Qurtubi, Ma'arif al-Quran, volume 5, page 616 of the English translation, the Honorable Mufti Shafi rahmatullah alayhi has said, this is supported by a narration of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, according to which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, I sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a man from my ummah under orders to be taken to the hell. A'udhu billah. Thereupon, subhanallah, his righteous daughters clung to him and started wailing and crying, earnestly supplicating, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spare him, spare him. For he was kind to us in the dunya and he worked very hard to raise us in our family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he then says, I have forgiven him for your sake. Subhanallah. So look at the status of daughters. This is the reason I'm mentioning these reports. So again, if anybody says to you, only one sheep, only one goat for the girl, you can avalanche them. The aqiqah should be performed on the seventh day after birth. Now if you cannot do the aqiqah on the seventh day, there's another instruction. In Tirmidhi, Tabarani, in his Awsat Bayhaqi Ad-Diyah, it's authenticated in Sahih al-Jami number 4132 and Irwa al-Ghalib number 1170. Hakim states Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, and Ahmad Shakir also relates similar and said Sahih in his Al-Muhalla 7-529. Hazrat Buraydah radiallahu reports that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the aqiqah should be performed, should be slaughtered on the seventh day after birth. If not, the 14th day after birth, if not the 21st day after birth. Now, a lot of parents start panicking. The child's born and they forget about the Aqiqah. These all 7 days have passed, forget it. You tell them, do it on the 14th. They say, why the 14th? Isn't it 7th day? That's right, but you missed the 7th day. But another scenario, somebody 2 weeks later, oh, it's 21st day then. So there's no panic, there's no rush. The child's head is then to be shaved. In Abu Dawood, Imam Ahmad, Muslim, Sahih, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every child is held in mortgage for its aqiqah, which is sacrificed for him on the 7th day, and he is named on it, and his head is shaved. Similarly, daughter's hair also needs to be shaved, not just the male. In Imam Ahmad Musnad Bayhaqi is authenticated in, and it's graded Hassan in Irwa ul-Ghaleem 4-403. When Hassan radiallahu anhu was born, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Fatima, his daughter radiallahu anha, shave his head and give the weight of his hair in silver to the poor. And with regards to the females, in Imam Malik Muwatta, number 1042, Abu Dawud in his Al-Marasil, number 380, Bayhaqi and others, Ali ibn al-Husayn, the great worshipper, rahmatullah alayh, he relates, Fatima radiallahu anha weighed the hair of Al-Hasan radiallahu anha, Al-Husayn radiallahu anha, Zainab radiallahu anha, and Kulthum radiallahu anha, and gave its weight in silver in charity. This hadith is explicit. It mentions the two granddaughters of the Prophet as well, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the order should be thus. Number one, aqiqah, slaughtering of two or one goats or sheep. Number two, naming. And number three, shaving the hair. Hakim states sahih, Zahabi sahih, Hafiz ibn Hajar states sahih, in his Fath al-Bari 9-589, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha related, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the Aqiqah of Al-Hasan al-Husayn radiallahu anhuma on the 7th day. That's the first thing he did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named them, second thing, and then ordered that the harm be removed from their heads. Harm. Now this hair on the head, they have not, as far as I know, found the harm of the child's hair. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed us to shave the hair. So there's harm in there. Now, if they do find it out, let us know, inshallah. It is then from the Holy Sunnah to apply perfume to the child's head after being shaved. In Ibn Hibban, Abu Ya'la and Bayhaqi, it's authenticated in As-Sahiha and Ilwa ul-Ghaleel, volume 4, page 389, as an Aisha radiallahu anha relates, during Jahiliyyah, the people would soak a piece of cotton in the Aqiqah's blood, Audhubillah, and pass it over the newborn's head. But in Islam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded that the blood be substituted with saffron and perfume. And also in Ibn Majah, Tabarani in his Awsat Tahawi, is authenticated in As-Sahiha, number 1996, Irwa ul-Ghaleel, volume 4, page 389, and Sahih ul-Jami, number 18108. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, its head should not be touched with blood. This is Jahiliyyah. Now the wisdom of shaving the hair, a possible explanation, is from Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah alayh in his Tufhatul Mawdud. Look what he said, Allahu A'lam. Shaving the hair invigorates the weak roots of the hair which he was born with and strengthens them, and it also opens the pores of the scalp and ventilates them. In other words, what he was saying was the child is born with his hair, but because it was taking the nutrition from the mother, it's not really his own hair. So by shaving it, this will generate new hair growth. So this, maybe that is the wisdom, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then there's circumcision. I'm going to go through this very quickly. For age, the age of which can be done before puberty. Don't start running, you know, to the circumcisers. In Bukhari, in his Sahih, Imam Ahmad and others, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, they, that's the companions radiallahu anhu, use not to circumcise a male until he reached the age of discernment. So what did Ibn Abbas say radiallahu anhu? Before puberty, they would circumcise. In other words, there wasn't a great rush. It must be noted that the narrations which state that the child should be circumcised on the seventh are all weak. How could they not be weak when in Sahih al-Bukhari Ibn Abbas said the opposite? However, if you do it on the seventh, subhanAllah. The blessed scholars rahmatullahi have stated it is either a must or greatly stressed for a male to be circumcised, male. Now females. Now recently, there's been a documentary, I can't remember the title, but I don't want to remember the title, but there was a reporter from Channel 4 News, and she was talking about women and the veil or something to that effect. And she had a go at female circumcision. She goes, there's nothing mentioned in the Quran. And she goes, maybe there's a few hadiths, but they're all weak. And this is just a cultural thing, and it's a subjugation of women. So let's see what Islam truly says. In Sahih Muslim, Imam Ahmad in his Musnad Bayhaqi, Sahih, in Sahih al-Jami, number 385, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the two circumcised parts unite, then bathing becomes obligatory. I don't want to go into the details, you can work out what this means. When the two circumcised parts unite, bathing becomes obligatory. Similarly, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said to a female circumciser in Abu Dawood, number 5251, Bayhaqi, Hakim Tabrani in his Awsat, is Hasan in As-Sahiha, number 722. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to a female circumciser, when you circumcise, then do not cut severely, since that is better for her and more pleasing to the husband. Now this is the explanation. With regards to those who say, and they should know better because this is a statement of kufr, if you know the text, this is female mutilation. We find that it is not caused by the circumcision itself, if there's any mutilation, but rather by contradicting the text forbidding cutting severely, i.e. by the excessive removal of the labia and other genital parts, or number two, by using unhygienic equipment. So either you've cut too severely, disobeying the divine command, or you've used unhygienic equipment, causing harm to the child. Then our scholars say, if these are the only reasons to stop female circumcision, then why is there then not also a human cry to prevent the male circumcision, which is also exposed to the two potential dangers? Again, I stress again, the scholars have mentioned it is not obligatory for the females to circumcise themselves, but one can and must never reject this as a commandment of the glorious deen. Have you understood this? If you don't do it, don't do it. But if you say it's not part of our teaching and you know the text, that takes you out of Islam because you're denying the text of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The child also has a right to be fed on the mother's milk. This is a right. The Almighty and Glorious has commanded subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, Surah Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 233, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Mothers should suckle their children 2 complete years, verse of the Quran. Denying the child the right to be suckled, very important for the females to understand this, denying the child the right to be suckled without any valid reason, i.e. illness, is unfair, is unjust, and is a sin in the sight of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A woman cannot forsake this important obligation unless she has an Islamically acceptable excuse, such as a genuine medical problem. Mothers who do not suckle their children due to the fear of the loss of their beauty and shape are no doubt extremely selfish and need to be aware of the harm that they are not only causing to their child but also themselves. With regards to the harm to themselves, in a hadith in Nasa'i, Ibn Hibban Sahih, Ibn Khuzaymah number 1986, Sahih, authenticated in Sahih al-Targhib number 991, Hazrat Abu Umama al-Bahri radiallahu anhu reports that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, while I was sleeping, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't forget, the dreams of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or revelation. Whilst I was sleeping sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two men, i.e. angels, came to me. They held me by my upper arms. They took me to a mountain. They said, climb. I said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I cannot climb. They said, we will make it easy for you. So I ascended until I reached a high place in the mountain. I sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then suddenly heard fierce cries and asked, what are those cries that I hear? They replied, that is the howling of the people of the fire. We moved on until I saw sallallahu alayhi wa sallam people who were suspended from their Achilles tendons. Their cheeks were cut and gushing blood. I asked, who are those unfortunate wretches? They replied, those are the ones who broke their fast when it was not permissible. He continued sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we moved on until I saw a people who were awfully swollen and had the most foul stench and the most hideous appearance. I sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who are those unfortunate wretches? They replied, those are the dead of the unbelievers. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued, we moved on until I saw people who again were awfully swollen and had the most foul stench. Their stench was like that of gutters. I asked, who are those unfortunate wretches? They replied, those are the male and female adulterers. Now this is the relevant part. We moved on until I sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw women with snakes biting at their breasts. A'udhu billah. I asked, what is wrong with these? What have these women done to deserve such a punishment? They replied, those are the women who denied their children their own milk. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued, we moved on until I saw boys playing between two rivers. I asked, who are those? They replied, those are the believers' offspring who had died before puberty, waiting for their parents. That's the complete narration. I mentioned it all because it's difficult to find unless I quote the whole text. Now what did the Prophet ﷺ see? He saw a woman or women getting bit by snakes on their breasts because they denied milk to their children. So it's an obligation unless there's an Islamic ruling in this regard.